right, folks. Well, praise the Lord. We'll get the sound booth guy going, and we'll stand for our final hymn tonight. That would be 110. Hymn 110. I'm so glad that you and I have someone to go to when we have a problem. Amen? Someone to go to who will always hear us and do something about it. That is the Lord Jesus, the blessed Lord. Look with me on 110. And we're going to sing the first, second, and third. Love the words of this old hymn of the faith.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me.
Be seated, folks. Glory to God that we can tell Him all about our trials and His ears are wide open to us. Glory to God for that. What a great Savior we serve. Book of Revelation tonight, once again, folks, as we come back to our studies on the tribulation period. And tonight we come to week number 12, part 12, sound man. And we have been looking at the events concerning the middle of the tribulation period. We've already seen 11 of the 16 mid-trib events, which must occur before the last 42 months known as the Great Tribulation commences. Okay, these things will occur prior to the start of the last 42 months. Now, we're going to cover three more events tonight. Event number 12. The 12th event will be the 7-year covenant / peace treaty being broken. Okay? Look with me in Revelation. Chapter number 12. And we got a pew Bible over there for Franny. And let's observe the sequential order of these mid-trib events. In Revelation chapter 13. Yeah, look in Revelation chapter 13 at verse 3. I want to show you the sequence of events that will transpire at the midpoint. First, the Antichrist is assassinated. Look at Revelation 13, verse 3. And as I saw one of his heads, that's the seventh head, which is Antichrist himself, as it were, wounded to death. He was killed. Okay? He's assassinated. This is at the midpoint, remember, of the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, deceived the whole world. He was cast out. Cast out of where? Cast out of heaven. To the earth. Notice that. Okay? First, Antichrist is assassinated. Satan's kicked out of the atmospheric heavens. And he lands on planet earth. Back to chapter 13. Back to verse 3 again. Verse 3. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Here, in verse 3, Satan himself indwells and resurrects the physical body of Antichrist, making him the walking devil, literally. Revelation chapter 12, again. Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Time out. Who is the woman of verse 13? Is that the church? No, Ellie said. That is
Israel.
Thank you. That is the elect nation, Israel. Who is going after Israel? Satan. Look at it. Persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. In case you doubted who it was. Jesus Christ, the man-child, which was to rule all nations, came out of Israel. Now, the covenant or peace treaty is here broken in verse 13. Okay? Now, this breaking... by the way, look at verse 14. And to the woman, Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Why? Because the covenant has been broken. The 12th event of mid-trib. The covenant broken, that's why she's fleeing. Okay? When there was peace between her and Antichrist, she didn't have to flee. All right? Now, this breaking of the seven-year covenant between Israel and the Antichrist was clearly prophesied of in the Old Testament. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Hold your place in Revelation. In Daniel chapter 9, it was prophesied long, long ago that this event, the breaking of the covenant, would occur at the midpoint of the tribulation period. At the midpoint. That the Holy Spirit is so specific, he told you when this would happen. Watch it. In Daniel chapter 9, look with me at verse 27. And he, that's Antichrist, shall confirm the what?
Covenant.
Treaty. With many Jews for 1 week. How long is that in the Bible? 7 years. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Wait a minute. Why would he do that? They just made a peace treaty. Why would he cause the religious, sacrificial, Levitical priesthood of Israel to cease? Because he's breaking the covenant. Look at it. And the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. And he shall make it desolate. See that? Desolate. Now, go to chapter 11 of Daniel. Verse number 40. Look at here. In Daniel 11, verse 40. And at the time of the end, that's the tribulation period, shall the king of the south push at him, Antichrist. Some are rebelling. And the king of the north shall come against him, Antichrist, like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, sending the navy in. And he, Antichrist, shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He's marching with his armies. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Now you know that's Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief of Amnon. That, of course, being Jordan. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. He'll control the world monetary systems completely. And over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. 45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas. That's the Mediterranean and the Sea of Galilee, which right between there is Jerusalem, of course. In the look at it, in the glorious holy mountain, in case you doubt it. It's talking about Mount Zion at Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Now, Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Here's a more clear description of the breaking of the covenant. Now, when he set up his palace there in Jerusalem, back there in Daniel chapter 11, verse 43, that was for breaking the covenant. Okay? Now, Isaiah 28. Look with me at verse 14. Here is a most powerful passage concerning the breaking of the covenant. Verse 14, Isaiah 28, 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. These are Jewish unbelievers during the tribulation period. Because ye have said, watch what they're saying, the leadership of Israel. Because ye have said, we have made a what? Covenant with death. See, the peace treaty between Antichrist and Israel is going to be a death covenant. It's going to bring death. And with hell, are we at agreement? They're going to agree with Antichrist to go along with the program. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. This is what they're saying, the leadership of Israel. They're saying, oh, we got nothing to worry about. Antichrist is protecting us. We got it in writing that he'll take care of us. Yeah, just wait, boys. Verse 15. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. See that? They're hiding behind Antichrist during the tribulation period. 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. A precious cornerstone. I wonder why he's bringing this Messiah up here. A sure foundation. Watch what he says. He that what?
Believeth.
He's talking to the remnant of Israel in verse 16. And those who believe on Messiah during the tribulation period. Jews. They're called the remnant. Watch what he says. He that believeth shall not make haste. You're not going to panic. You're not going to flee. 17. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, broken. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. Notice that the covenant is not standing. In verse 18, it's being broken by someone. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. All of a sudden, in verse 18, Antichrist and his armies are trodding down Jerusalem. They're now killing Jews, beheading them. Why? He's broken the covenant, folks. 19, from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation, only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. He's saying this covenant that you made with the Antichrist, it can't work. It's too short. It's not going to work out for you. 21. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. Uh-oh. Angelic assistance. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon. That he may do his work. His strange work. And bring to pass his act. His strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. The covenant is spoken of clearly here in these verses, folks, that it will be broken at the midpoint. Now, clearly this passage points directly to the time of the seven-year covenant that Israel will make with hell and states unequivocally that it will be broken and disannulled. But why? Why will it be broken? It's because the devil is a liar. He never keeps his word. He never has and he never will. He promised them peace and safety and security, and they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it because he's a liar. Okay? They made a deal with the wrong guy. See that? Now, remember, when Israel makes this treaty with the Antichrist, she is in unbelief nationally. Okay? That's why she's deceived by Antichrist. She's still in a state of unbelief, as she is today, nationally speaking. And she is in rejection of her own Messiah. That's the 12th event, the breaking of the seven-year covenant by Antichrist. Back to Revelation. The 13th event will be the abomination of desolation set up in the temple. The abomination of desolation set up in the temple. Now, the first corollary event tied in with the breaking of the covenant is the abomination of desolation being constructed in the Jewish temple at Jerusalem. All three of these details are cited in one verse of Scripture. Go back to Daniel chapter 9 for a minute. I want you to see that all three of these details are plainly spoken of in Daniel chapter 9 in one single verse. That's how powerful the Bible is. Look with me here.
Which one?
In Daniel chapter 9 at verse 20. Now I'm going to show you the covenant broken, the Jewish temple constructed, and the abomination of desolation set up. All in one verse. Watch it. Verse 27 again. And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant. Notice that. The covenant with many for 1 week. And in the what? What's the next word?
Midst.
In the midst. We're talking about mid-tribulation events, beloved. He says right there in the middle of the 7 years, he shall break the covenant by causing the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He's going to say, Jews, it's over. Your temple worship is done. Get out. And look at it. So first we see the covenant broken in verse 27. Second, notice the Jewish temple has been erected. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Time out, church. How can you have a sacrificial priesthood and oblations being offered on an altar if there's no temple? There's a temple. That's the tribulation period temple he's speaking of in verse 27. That's the second thing listed in this verse. Thirdly, notice the abomination of desolation set up. And for the overspreading of what? Abominations. He shall make it desolate. Okay? We've got all three of what John is describing by the Holy Ghost in Revelation chapter 13 and 14 here in one verse in the Old Testament. This is an incredible book you have in your lap. It's amazing. Now, notice the duration. That is, how long will the abomination of desolation continue? Verse 27 says, until the consummation. See that? The end of verse 27, Daniel 9. Until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, when is the consummation, somebody? When is the consummation of the tribulation period? At the second advent, when Messiah comes down to earth after 7 years. That's when the abomination of desolation will cease. Not until. So this gives us the timing. 42 months. It starts in the middle of the week, right? 42 months in. And it goes until the consummation. 42 months later. You gotta read between the lines here. The consummation of all things will occur at the end of the 7 years. Go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel, again, chapter 12 this time. Oh, what a book we have. And look with me in Daniel 12 at verse 5. Look how clear this is. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, it's an angel, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders. And see, the devil Antichrist is working miracles and signs and wonders. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, that's 1 year, times, that's 2 years, and half in time, that's 6 months. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, that's the elect nation, all these things shall be finished. So he gives you here the timing. And I heard, but I understood not. Yeah, wouldn't you be confused? And then I said, oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Beloved, I believe we're living in the time of the end. And that's why we're getting spiritual insight by the Holy Ghost into these truths. Look at it. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. When's that going to happen, church? Two questions. Who's he talking about and when's it going to occur? He's talking about Jews, and it's going to occur during the tribulation period. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise, the remnant, shall understand. And from the time, look at it, from the time that the daily sacrifice, verse 11, shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. We're in Daniel 12, verse 11, folks. Daniel 12, verse 11. You got to see this. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. See it? 3.5 years. 12. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. Why? Why does he make that statement? Blessed is he that cometh to the 1,305 days. I'll tell you why. It's because there's going to be a gap of time between the end of the tribulation period and the commencement of the millennial kingdom, where Messiah will be setting things up, preparing them for the 1,000 years. That will begin on the 1,305 day from the midpoint of the tribulation. Folks, he's giving you the exact day that the millennium will start. I mean, this book, it is so amazing. I stand in awe of the Word of God. Now here in chapter 9 and verse number 11, we have the starting point of the abomination of desolation. Okay? It is the cessation. Chapter 12, verse 9. The cessation of the sacrificial system. He then gives us the exact number of days to the day that it will continue for. 1,290 days. See that? 1,290 days. Now, we see that in verse number 11. 42 months. 3.5 years. Now, as I showed you in the 8 stages of the second coming series, the extra 30 days here in verse 11 is how long the image of the beast will last. Not the beast. The image will last an extra 30 days before it's annihilated. Messiah himself warned the Jews of this event. He said they would see this event. Go with me to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus said that Jewish believers that find themselves in the tribulation period will see with their own eyes the abomination of desolation. Chapter 24 is not speaking to the church. So many guys are so mixed up and they're confusing God's people because they're not rightly dividing the word. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 24. This could not be any clearer. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, words in red, then shall they deliver you up. Who is the you?
The Jews.
Of verse 9. That's right, Carol. That's the Jews. That's the Jews. And shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Yeah, they are to this day.
Yeah,
verse 13. Yep. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Wait a minute. You mean you got to do good works for salvation? Hold out faithful to the end? Nope. You don't. You're under grace. These people that Jesus is speaking to are in the tribulation period, and if you don't hold out faithful to the end, you perish. See that? That means not taking the mark of the beast, that means not worshiping Antichrist, and that means having faith in Jesus Christ till your dying breath, even if they behead you. That's what it means. Okay? Look at it. Verse 14. And this gospel of grace, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Beloved, I do not preach the gospel of the kingdom from this pulpit. I preach the gospel of the grace of God. After the rapture hits, if I'm left behind, I trust I won't, I would preach the gospel of the kingdom. And any preacher who's left behind, and there'll be plenty of them, they'll finally have their theology straight. They'll be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which they're preaching now. All right? Verse 15. Then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. That's the holy of holies in the temple at Jerusalem. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. See, get out of Dodge quick, because things are about to get real ugly in Jerusalem. It says, you better get out of there fast. Now, another passage dealing with this very event is Revelation chapter 11. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Look at verse number 1. We have so many witnesses of the Holy Spirit in Scripture to confirm what we believe and to know why we believe it. Verse number 1, Revelation 11, 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. It's a measuring stick. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the what? Wait a minute. Temple of God. There's no temple in Jerusalem. There hadn't been one for 2,000 years. Right, but there's one coming. How do I know that? Because of what I just read. Amen? Midpoint of the tribulation period, an angel is measuring the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Those are unsaved Jews. That's why they're worshiping under Mosaic code. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city, somebody tell me, where's the holy city?
Jerusalem.
Thank you, Franny. The holy city shall they tread underfoot. How long?
42
months. The last half of the tribulation period, the covenant has been broken and the Jews are being persecuted to the ends of the earth from Jerusalem. Now, here again, 42 months is mentioned. Another passage, we have 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. And look with me in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A passage familiar to us all. Look what he says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of the Lord, tribulation period, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Before Antichrist comes, Paul said by the Holy Spirit, there's going to be a great apostasy in the world. Folks, we're seeing it before our eyes. The Pope was in Turkey yesterday, making an agreement with the Muslims and the Jews. We be brethren. One ecumenical, worldwide, universal religion. They call it Chrislam. Look at it. Verse 4. The son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the what? There it is again. Same three words from Revelation chapter 11. Temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is when he breaks the covenant. Paul says he's going to walk into the temple, sit down on the mercy seat of the Holy of Holies, and declare himself to be Jesus Christ and demand universal worship. Okay? Now, here the 42-month second worldwide religious system is inaugurated. The abomination of desolation. It will commence with universal beast worship. And observe that his self-declaration of deity will be accompanied by miraculous signs and supernatural acts of wonders promoting his deception. Verse 8. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's why we don't seek after signs and miracles and wonders and tongues. Because Satan can impersonate all that. According to this verse right here, he can. And we don't give him any ground for deception or imitation. 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They will believe Antichrist is Jesus Christ. They will be deceived. Why? Because they verse 12 tells us why. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, notice in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2, the Antichrist will have power, demonic, satanic power to work miracles. Verse 10 states that he will deceive all those who reject the love of the Lord Jesus. Next, notice the false prophet's involvement in the abomination of desolation. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. Notice who else is involved in the abomination of desolation. A third part of the satanic trinity. He's called the false prophet. Look at it. Revelation 13, verse 13. 13. Not a good number. And he, this is the false prophet, not the Antichrist. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. The false prophet is actively engaged in promoting the abomination of desolation. Okay? Thirdly, tonight, and I'll be done. The third event is event number 14 of 16. It will be the persecution of Israel. This will be the 14th event of the middle of the tribulation period. Now, a second corollary to the breaking of the covenant will be the worldwide persecution of all living Jews. Go to Matthew 24 again. Back to Matthew 24. We didn't finish what Jesus was telling the Jews in Matthew chapter 24. And it's very important that we see exactly what he said to them. Because it hasn't happened yet. Okay? It's going to. Look here. In Matthew 24, verse 15. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them, look at it, him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight, notice that word, we'll be coming back to that, be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. We'll be coming back to that too. So notice somebody's keeping the Sabbath day during the tribulation period. Okay? Why? Age of grace is done. It's going back under the Jewish. God is dealing with Israel again. Verse 21. For then shall be what?
Tribulation.
Great. Not tribulation.
Great
tribulation. Now, when you see these two words, great tribulation, it's always referring to the last 42 months of the 7 years. The great tribulation will come after the midpoint events, okay? Jesus says, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days, 1290 of them, should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who's the elect in verse 22? The elect nation. Israel, that's right, Kyle. The elect nation. Then the elect bride is not anywhere to be found on planet Earth at this time. She is in heaven with the Lord. That's us. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. See, that somebody's trying to draw the Jews out of hiding, to kill them. See that? Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Yeah, we just read that in Revelation 13. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's the remnant of Israel, the believing remnant. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Forth from where? Israel's hiding somewhere. Hold on, we're going to get to it. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Don't come out of your hiding place. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He says, you don't have to worry about it. When the Son of Man comes, you will know it. Because he will gather you supernaturally. 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. The eagles are the remnant of Israel, not Christians, okay? Believing Israel. Now notice in verse 15 through 19 that Israel is warned that when the abomination of desolation is set up, they must flee out of Jerusalem quickly. Why? They'll be beheading Jews in Jerusalem. Absolutely. By the scores. Now, then in verse 20, notice Matthew 24, verse 20. They are urged to pray that when this event occurs, it will not be in winter time, nor on the Sabbath day. Why? First of all, because it's harder to travel during the winter months, and because of the snow and cold. And it is usually much, much colder during the winter. They will be going over mountain ranges to get to Bozrah, a place called Mount Seir, where Petra is found. Now, nor does he say, pray that it won't be on the Sabbath day. Why is that? Listen, because to this day in Israel, there is no public transportation on the Sabbath day, which starts Friday evening at dusk and doesn't end till Sunday morning. So during this time frame, all buses are locked up, Carl, and all trains do not run. So the reason he says not in winter is because they will have to cross the mountains in order to get to Petra, down in Jordan, in the city of Bozrah by Mount Seir. Next, notice in verse 21 and 22 that the Jews will be hunted like animals worldwide. And he gives you the amount of time there in 22 for the 3.5 years. Now, then in verse 23 through 28, Messiah issues a special message, and it's directed, listen to me, to the believing remnant within Israel, warning them not to heed any rumor that the Messiah has returned, and so they can come out of hiding. They're liars. They're trying to lure you out, to turn you over to the beast for beheading. Another passage dealing directly with this persecution of Israel and flight of the Jews out of Jerusalem is Revelation chapter 12. Go to Revelation chapter 12, and we'll finish up here. Look at verse number 6. And the woman, who's the woman? Israel. We already saw that, clearly. The woman fled into the wilderness. She's leaving Jerusalem, where she hath a place prepared by who? God. Oh, I like it. By God. That they should feed her there. How long? 1260 days. 3.5 years. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And this is the war is cast into the earth. And verse number 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's why he hates Israel. Jesus Christ was full-blooded Jew. And to the woman, Israel, were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, trying to drown her, like the Egyptians down there in the Red Sea. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood. which the dragon cast out of his mouth. At its Leviathan. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, a number of things we're looking at here, folks. First, notice in verse 6 that God has prepared a special hiding place for Israel for the final 42 months of the 7 years. Then, in verse 7 and 12, look at it. 7 and 12, we find the reason for Israel fleeing. Satan is cast down to the earth. You see that? Next, in verse 13, Satan is now desperate to annihilate every living Jew on planet earth so that he will not lose his kingdom over the earth. Then in verse 14, look at it. Observe in verse 14 that Israel escapes destruction because of divine intervention. Verse 14, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Two wings of a great eagle. It seems I've heard that before in the Bible somewhere. Go with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. You know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has done in the past, he will do again. Hello? Oh yeah. God works in mysterious ways. And he oft repeats his supernatural works. In Exodus, look with me in chapter 19. Look with me at verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were come forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. Notice the word wilderness. Didn't we just read that in Revelation chapter 12? She fled into the wilderness. Oh, yeah, yeah. And there Israel camped before the mount. And, oh, Lord, this is so good. Camped before the mount. We just read that in Revelation 12. And Moses went up unto God. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on what? Same phrase. We just read that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. On eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Not American Airlines, folks. Not United. Not US Air. That's right. Not JetBlue. Go to Deuteronomy 32. I want to show you it again. God has eagle's wings for his people. Oh, this is good. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, you know the passage. It's the song of Moses. Look at verse number 7. It's glorious. Remember the days of old, Israel. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High, that's the God we serve, he's the Most High, divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, Genesis chapter 10, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He said, everything's going to revolve around one nation, Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob. Physical Israel is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling, what? Wilderness. There's that word again. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As a what? Verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her what? Somebody?
Wings.
Thank you, Ellie. Somebody's awake. Verse 11. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Taketh them. Beareth them on her wings. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. God says, I bear you on my wings. Three times in the scripture. Look at it. Look at it with me in verse, if you're still in Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, Israel, and there was no strange God with him. He made him to ride on high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Time out. What did it say in Revelation 12? He's going to nourish her a time, times, and half a time. 14, butter of kine, milk of sheep, fat of lambs, rams and breed of Bashan, goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. Thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. God's going to feed her. And he's going to take her there on wings of a great eagle. Now notice the word in verse 12. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. There was no strange God with him. Something else in Revelation 12. Go back to Revelation 12. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for 3.5 years. Now, I wonder if God has ever nourished Israel supernaturally before. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wasn't there a time when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Yep. They ate manna that fell out of heaven from the sky. They drank water that came out of a rock for 40 years. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's supernatural. Indeed, go to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're almost done. 1 Kings chapter 17. He's done it before. He'll do it again, church. 1 Kings, that's the God we serve. Elisha, the Tishbite, the great prophet of fire. He's in the wilderness. And look what happens to him. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. By the way, folks, we find out in James chapter 5, that was 42 months. No rain, okay? A picture of the great tribulation. Now watch what happens during this pictured time period. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself, by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Ravens are ravenous bird. They're carnivorous. They're nasty. They will bite you. They'll eat your eyes if you let them. Yeah, sorry, Freddy. Oh, listen, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, 2 square meals. And he drank of the brook. Supernaturally. Fed him. He didn't have to go down to McDonald's. He didn't have to go to Putnam Pantry. Hey, they brought the food to him. Why? Because God did it. Then in Revelation 12, look at verse 15. Verse 15. The serpent here casts out of his mouth a flood after the woman, Israel, causing a great flood in an attempt to drown the Jews who were fleeing to Petra. But look at verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth what? Opened her mouth. I wonder if that's ever happened before in the Bible. Go with me to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. It's an incredible book you hold. God's done it before. God will do it again. Numbers chapter 16. Look with me. The children of Israel are in the wilderness. And guess what happens? The earth opens her mouth. You know this is happening all over the world right now? The earth opening her mouth and swallowing things down. Some of them go so far down they can't find them anymore.
Right.
I'm serious. Oh, man, you see some pictures on YouTube and on Google. Unbelievable what's happening. Look at it. In Numbers chapter 16, look at verse 28. Quickly, 28. And as Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own hand. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her what? Mouth. We just read those words in Revelation 12, verse 16. And swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, that's hell. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking, that, look at it, the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive. They went to hell with their boots on. Into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from amongst the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. Somebody's fleeing. It's Israel in the wilderness. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Oh yeah. That's a supernatural act of God. Now, in closing, go with me to Revelation chapter 12 again. Verse 17. And we'll finish up. Verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman. Yeah. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and refuse his mark, and won't worship him, and love Jesus Christ, and wait for their Messiah to come rescue them. And he will. Now, in verse 17, notice the target of Satan's attack, switching to the believing remnant. You see that? He specifically says at the end of the verse that they are true believers. Now, in Revelation 13, he graphically describes the two beings whom Satan will utilize in his attempt to destroy every Jew on planet Earth. The Antichrist, verses 1 through 11, and the false prophet, verse 11 through 15. But all of his evil designs will fail miserably, because the events that occur during the final 42 months will consummate in the setting up of the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Finish up right here. Look at verse 15. Here's how it all ends, boys. I got good news tonight. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Yeah, they're losing their kingdom. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, both small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Church, guess what? We win. We win! I'm so glad. We know the end from the beginning because we know this book. Next week we'll see the final two events of the mid-tribulational events, and then we'll begin our study of the last 42 months. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for these incredible truths of Scripture that, Lord, you, by your Holy Spirit, are opening up the Scriptures like never before. We are getting insight, and we are having the eyes of our understanding enlightened, and we are seeing things that we've never seen before from your Word. And that's exciting, Lord, because you're unsealing the book, and you're letting us peer into the glories of the truths of God and what is ahead. And Lord, we thank you that because we know these things, we can warn the wicked to repent and be saved before it's too late. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the truth in Jesus' name. The people said, amen. 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 Let's stand, beloved. We will have a closing hymn before we're dismissed in prayer. Look with me in your hymnals to hymn number 343. Actually, I think we just sang that before. Go to 13, hymn 13. and equally great hymn of the faith. We'll sing all four.
What's the number?
That would be hymn 13, Franny. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Get the right number, choir. There we go.
Power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall.
Amen!
Hail him who saved you by his grace, and from him, Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial hall, to him all majesty ascribe, and from him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and from him Lord of all. That with yonder sacred cross we at his feet may fall.
Think about it!
This Lord, the everlasting Son, and from him, Lord of all. This Lord, the everlasting Son, and from
God, might dismiss us in prayer.
Lord, we thank this day. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the safety of all.
Amen. Amen.